From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We start the broadcast today with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. First up is Paul. He's listening in Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
I got a question about Revelation chapter 22, mm-hmm. verses 18 and 19. Who give John the authority to make the accusations or what he's talking about in them two verses?
Well, this is not an accusation, a very famous passage. If anyone adds anything to these words, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. This is not an unfamiliar passage. This is a passage that you can find in the words of the wisest man who ever lived, save Theanthropus, the God-man, Solomon, said essentially the same thing. But Moses also said the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 4, where he said something to the effect of, do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. So again, what is reiterated in Revelation chapter 22 by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you find elsewhere in Scripture. And I would add something else to that. We need to recognize that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ to begin with. That's how Revelation starts, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Bob. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say I consider your ministry on the radio a blessing. About a week ago, I was looking on the internet for a timeline for Israel's history, and I found this site called BibleResearch.org. And as I was looking at it, I started looking at the homepage and seeing what else they had on the site. And I found some very strange things that made me think that it's probably not a Christian site, and I don't know what denomination or what group is behind the site. I was hoping you would have some information on it.
Yeah, as I recall, it's a splinter group of the Worldwide Church of God, and it is certainly not a Christian group. This is a group that denies the doctrine of the Trinity and also posits the Holy Spirit as an impersonal power of God. Virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God, and this strikes at the heart of the Christian faith. We believe in a triadic one, and to deny what is clearly apprehended in Scripture, obviously not comprehended, is a very serious thing indeed. God has condescended to reveal himself to us as one God revealed in three persons, those three persons eternally distinct. And I think when a group like this redefines the very nature of God, it is a horrendous evil, not a credible group, not a credible website for a lot of reasons. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Tony. She's listening in Overland Park, Kansas. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. I just had a question about, you know, when we pass away, we're in the presence of the Lord. We're just in the presence of the Lord. It's not like we're with the Lord, but we don't get to see the Lord, right? Is that what that means?
Well, we're experiencing God is what it means. It is a relational statement more than it is a locational statement, but one day it will be, in fact, locational, because when Jesus appears a second time, then this universe will be transformed, but the soul will also return to the body, and the body will be resurrected. That is not to say that every molecule will be resuscitated, but that there's continuity between the body that is and the body that will be. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, which is to say the non-physical aspect of humanity is enjoying the presence of God, experiencing God in a very real way. But the ultimate treasure is yet to come when Jesus appears a second time.
Right, yeah, I understand that part. Now, I have one other question about that. Even non-believers, are they in the presence of the Lord too?
Well, they are in torment, and Jesus makes that clear in Luke chapter 16, where a rich man dies and he ends up in torment. The torment is explained in many different ways, but all of the ways are pointing to the graphic reality of what it is to be apart from the loving presence of God. It is a torment in time. It is a far greater torment in eternity.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll be calling in again because I can't think of any more questions right now, but I do have a lot of them.
Well, wonderful, Tony. Appreciate you calling in. God bless you.
Thank you, Hank. You too. Bye-bye.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Breston in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi.
Well, I had a question. I didn't really get quite a conclusion on your take of the book of Revelation, whether it has been completed or whether you believe in its interpretation that is still yet to come.
Well, no, there's a lot to come. I mean, in Revelation 21 and 22, you see the eternal state with the full complement of God's people in paradise. Remember where John says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stands the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. All of that is yet to come. So Revelation, like all the other books of the Bible, point to eternal verities. The fact that we may experience light and momentary difficulties here, but we look forward to our reward in heaven.
Okay. Well, what of the abomination of desolations, the bottomless pit, the coming of Christ?
Well, the abomination of desolation you find in the book of Daniel. You also find it in the Olivet Discourse, because Jesus points to the abomination of desolation that happened under the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, to talk about another abomination that will take place when the temple is not just desecrated but manifestly destroyed.
So you're saying the abomination of desolations was Titus.
Well, I'm saying that the abomination of desolation that Jesus refers to in the Olivet Discourse, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, is Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. The abomination was the desecration, defilement of the temple. And you'll recall that there was freedom for the Jews ultimately because of Judas Maccabeus and his forces. The abomination that Jesus points back to, he uses as a way of pointing forward to another great abomination when the temple is not just defiled or desecrated, but destroyed.
And that is when the temple will be rebuilt again.
Well, no, there's no indication anywhere in the whole of Scripture that the temple will be rebuilt again. In fact, the very notion of a rebuilt temple flies in the face of the clearest passages of Scripture. Once the ultimate temple has come, Jesus Christ, to go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ, as the writer of Hebrews puts it. So there's no warrant whatsoever for another temple. There's no warrant whatsoever for another sacrifice. Christ has been sacrificed once for all. And the notion that some prophecy pundits are forwarding to the gullible in the Christian world today, that in the millennium there's going to be not only a third temple, but a fourth temple. And that temple, they say, the fourth temple in the millennium, is going to actually atone for sin. So here you're going to have Christ presiding over a temple, sacrifices being made again, and those sacrifices, it is said by these prophecy pundits, are going to actually be efficacious for sin. Obviously, it would destroy the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross, and therefore we shouldn't buy into those kinds of things. As we read through the Bible, we know those things aren't true. And it doesn't take a whole lot of reading. Just read it through once and you'll see that when Jesus Christ comes, we don't want to go back to types and shadows. That would be an abomination in and of itself. We are coming up to station break. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
The goal of the Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than a transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will encourage you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be back in a few moments with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking.
It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one, because Truth Matters Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential historic truths of the Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence and purpose, union with God in Christ. Prepare to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Here again is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to David in Farmington, Arkansas. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. Appreciate you taking my call there. My question today is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost the same? And if different, is the Holy Ghost something you have to enter the kingdom of heaven?
Well, no. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are used synonymously for the third person of the Trinity. The word ghost actually derives from Middle English, and even earlier, it is of Germanic origin. And what it actually means is spirit. So spirit, which ultimately comes from Latin, spiritus, or breath, is the same thing. So one word comes from Middle English and from the earlier Germanic, but both things mean the same thing. They're applied in Scripture to the third person of the Holy Trinity.
I see. Thank you so much, Hank, for answering that for me.
You got it. And remember that our temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we do things like when I do the Bible Answer Man broadcast or when I witness, I always pray, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So I ask the Lord to empower me for service. That's called the infilling of the Spirit. So we're indwelt by the Spirit, but we're also empowered by the Spirit. So again, what we do is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Jimmy in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. God bless you for this ministry. It's been really helpful to listen up for a while. My question comes from Genesis 6, verse 2. It's talking about the sons of God. Saw that the daughters of man were attractive. Who were the sons of God? I'm always wondered about that.
Yeah.
Speak more about that?
Sure. Yeah. The interpretation there is that these are the godly descendants of Seth. And the daughters of men in this context are the ungodly descendants of Cain. And what happens in Genesis chapter 6, of course, is the epic story of the flood. So their cohabitation causes humanity to fall into such utter depravity that God says, I'm going to wipe humankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. And then, of course, we read that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, eight and all, saved in the midst of the waters of the flood. And in essence, we have the human line beginning once again with Noah and his progeny.
Okay, good. Perfect. Thank you, sir.
You got it. I've written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. A reminder that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries around the world with your ongoing support. And in appreciation of that support, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org. www.hankhanagraph.org/donate. Let's go back to the phone lines. Tessa, she's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I am new to reading the Bible, and what would you suggest to people who are really wanting to understand, where do I start?
One of the great places that I've recommended over the years is the Gospel of John, but certainly with one of the Gospels, I think that's very helpful as a new Christian. But I think even prior to that, what I would do is learn the art and science of biblical interpretation, also referred to on this broadcast as hermeneutics. And it is a science in that there are rules that apply, and an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. So once you learn how to read the Bible rightly, I think that will open Scripture to you like a fragrant rose. I wrote a book on this very subject. It's called Has God Spoken? I think it could be very, very helpful to you. And not only understanding that this is, in fact, the Word of God, a reliable authority, but it teaches you how to read it rightly as well.
All right, so I will start with that. That's a good place to start.
Cool. The book, again, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Everybody else listening in, you can find it on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ryan. He's listening in Texas. Hi, Ryan.
Yes, hello, Mike. My question is, what is your opinion on the historical relevance in relation to the Bible of the ancient Jewish texts, such as the Book of Jubilees?
Well, I think if you read any of the ancient Jewish pseudepigraphal texts, which were written during the intertestamental period, you need to recognize that you may learn something good from a historical perspective, but these are not inspired. So there are truths within those texts that may be helpful, but this is certainly not something that is on par with the Holy Scriptures.
I realize that. I just hadn't read any. I was just curious if it was worth the read or if it could be misconstrued.
Well, I mean, I would not be afraid of reading it, but it wouldn't be my first option in terms of reading. There are many other things I would start to read prior to reading those particular texts. So I think there are all kinds of people who are not familiar with the biblical text, and they're dabbling in texts that are esoteric and difficult to understand and not inspired. So my advice would be to spend your time submerged in the Word of God first. And certainly I'm a person, because of what I do, that from time to time will read those kinds of texts as well. What I want people to do is get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into them. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Christopher in Plymouth, Missouri, listening on the web. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My call is kind of a technical question, and I'm self-educated, so I might be missing something that's clearly obvious. But my question was this. When I read the end of Genesis in chapter 48, it looks like Jacob passes the blessing or the promise of Abraham through Ephraim. When I read the book of Ruth, where it seems like it's picking back up on God's fulfillment of this, it seems to point to the Naomi's family being Ephraimites. But commonly people speak of Jesus as the coming from the line of Judah, and I was curious as to why people references the line of Judah versus the line of Ephraim, because it seems like in the Joseph story, it kind of discredits Judah in pointing to Joseph as the person who carried the promise. So,
yeah, just in terms of the overview, the seed of the woman would be a descendant of Abraham, not Lot, and then the line would proceed through Isaac, not Ishmael, through Jacob, not Esau, and the fourth of Jacob's sons, not the first. He would be the legal heir of David, the long-awaited king of the Jews, who would ultimately restore true Israel from their exile in sin. So if you go back now and parse that, you recognize that Israel had 12 sons. The oldest was Reuben, and yet the promise was not to the first son, nor to the second Simeon, nor was the promise to Levi, even though Messiah would not only be a prophet, but a priest. Jacob called for his sons, as you may recall, and said, "Gather around me so I can tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. And then Israel spoke the words that are so familiar to most Christians: the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. And thus it was not in the first nor the favorite, but in the fourth that you have the son of the promise. And those who reigned from the line of Judah were likened to a lion. They ruled in anticipation of the lion in whom the scepter would find ultimate substance. Of course, we're talking about the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ himself. So by identifying Messiah as a descendant of the tribe of Judah, God eliminates the descendants of the other 11 tribes. Now, the Judah dynasty climaxed in a ruler who would have egregious sins. I'm talking about David. But stands forever in Hebrew history as the quintessential righteous king of Israel, because he, in fact, is the one upon whose throne Jesus Christ would forever sit. I've written about this in various places, including my book, Has God Spoken? And I want to thank everyone for standing with us prayerfully and financially. Anything you could do would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.